Romans 8, verse 26, and it says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words." So sometimes you get to a point where you want to pray, you deeply want to pray in your heart, but you don't know what to pray, you don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit is there to guide you. The Holy Spirit is there to pray on your behalf. So before I go any further, I would like us to pray, please, and ask God to take charge and take control. Father, we bow down before you this morning, O God. We give you all honor, we give you all glory, and we give you all praise. We exalt you, Lord God, for you are good, and your mercy endures forever and ever. Lord, you are the King of kings, you are the King of glory. You are exalted on high. Father, we commit this time into your hands, and we ask, O Lord God, that you take charge, you take control. Lord, we commit your word back to you, O Father. Lord, you say that your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish each and every purpose for which you send it. Lord, as I stand before you and before your children, I ask, Lord God, that you will use me, O Lord God, for your glory. Lord, I know I'm not worthy. I know, Lord God, that, Father, before you, our righteousness is like filthy rags. And Lord, I'm not worthy to be before you, but I thank you, O God, that by the blood of Jesus, O God, we are able, O Lord God, to come before you. We are able to boldly approach your throne of grace, O Father, because of the work that was done on the cross. Lord, as we come and as we seek you, Father, we ask that you will reveal your heart to us this morning. We ask, Lord God, that you will direct us and you will guide us. We pray, O Father, that, Lord God, as we leave this place, O Father, we will not be the same, O Father, but, Lord, we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Lord, we ask that, Lord God, you will touch our hearts, Lord God. We pray, O Father, that, Lord God, those areas, O Father, that have been hurt, Lord God, that, Father, you will reach into those areas and bring your healing, O Father, because you are the God that heals. You are the God that makes a way even where there is no way, O Father. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, O God, for your goodness. And we ask, Lord God, that come, Lord, and take your place. Come and be exalted, O Father. Come and be lifted on high. For, Lord, all the honor, all the glory and all the praise, they belong to you, O Father. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Matt, for putting that up. So I've been given the title, "I Am the Gate. Those who come through me will be saved. They'll come and go freely and will find good pastures." Some other versions might read differently, and some of them might say, "I am the door." So during this morning or during this talk or whatever you want to call it, sermon, preach, I will be interchanging the words "word" and "door." So I come from Southern Africa, and unlike what we have in the UK, most houses will have a massive gate and different types of gates. So you'll have all these different types of gates. Some of them protect the whole enclosure. Some of them protect the actual houses. But they are all different types of gates. They all are meant to do one thing, which is protect the people that live in it. And these are physical gates that we can see. There are also other different types. I've shown you the gates within the city areas. There are also different types of gates that you'll find in rural areas or in villages. They are slightly different, but I couldn't find the ones that were suitable enough for me to show you. But they will be mainly made of wood or made of wood and fence posts, fence, wire fence, joining poles together. So you pull them and make a gate out of those. The sole purpose of all those gates is to protect someone from either breaking into your house or your property from escaping. If you've got animals, that will keep the animals in. If you've got children, it will keep the children in, unless they get to a certain stage where they decide the gates are no longer essential. So on that one, you can see the size of the wall as well. And there are different types of the walls like that. And in South Africa, we refer to them as stop nonsense. I don't know whether the term stop nonsense means that the wall keeps the nonsense out or it keeps the nonsense in, whichever way you want to look at it. So, coming back to our scripture, it says, yes, I am the gate. Those who come to me will be saved. They'll come freely and go freely, and we'll find good pastures. So this is the gate that we are focusing on today. But if I take you back slightly. By the way, today is last Sunday of the month. I think I have got about 15 minutes. I don't know how much of that 15 minutes I'm going to use or overuse. So just bear with me. Reading from verse 1 says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall Can I have the next slide, please? There we go, thank you. Next slide. Okay, there we go. So it says, I tell you, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. His own sheep, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he's gathered his flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They'll run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained to them, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. And all who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. So, as you can see there, that's an illustration of someone that's coming over the gate. Can I have the next slide, please? Okay. I skipped one slide somewhere along the way. So that slide was actually meant to show you that in those days, the enclosures were made out of stone and there was no physical gate. So, is that the one before? Oh, there we go. Yeah, thank you. So there was no physical gate. The shepherd was the actual gate. He will sit there overnight, and the sheep will not be able to go out because the shepherd is there, and the wolves on the other hand, or the wild animals, would not be able to go in. If they had to go in, they will have to go through the shepherd. They'll have to fight the shepherd first before they can get access to the sheep. So that means the shepherd was there to stop the wild animals from coming in. And his job was to defend those sheep. Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd. He cares about his flock. He cares about you. He cares about me and anyone else that believes in him. nothing can come through to you unless it goes via him. So whatever situation that you might be facing, whatever challenge that you might be going through, it does not matter. As long as Jesus is on your side, nothing will come in your way. The Bible tells us that we will have challenges. In fact, when we look at Romans chapter 8 from verse 17, it says, "And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs. We are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share to his glory, we must also share his sufferings." So that glory that we get by becoming heirs with Christ, or by accepting Christ as our Savior, means we will also have to share in the sufferings, but we cannot be able to share in the amount of sufferings that Christ has gone through for us. Christ went on to the cross. He was crucified so that we can be forgiven. His blood was shed so that we can be washed clean from our sin. And whatever we do, whatever we come across, whatever situation, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. If we read on to verse 28, it says, And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good for those who love the Lord, who are called to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son will be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to him. And having called them to him, he gave them the right standing with himself. And having given them the right standing, he gave them his glory. So you have been called by God. You have been called according to his glory, and you have been given that glory. Let me read that again. I'll start from verse 29. It says, "For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son will be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." You have been chosen to be like Christ. You have been given a body, but most of all, you have been given a new life that is in the resemblance of Christ. And when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, he comes in and he dwells with you. When God looks at you, he sees Christ that is in you. He no longer sees the sinner that is me, but he sees the Christ that lives in me. So having been chosen and having been called to God, to come to God himself, and having been called, he gave me, changed them to me, meaning yourself. And having gave me the right standing with himself, and having given me the right standing, he gave me his glory. So you have God's glory. It lives within you. And we are called to come to him. It says in John 14 that Jesus is the only way. There might be other religions that you hear out there that tell you differently, but the true calling or the true way to the Father is Jesus. He is the only way. And he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And he says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him, and you have seen him." So if you know Jesus, you know the Father. My question this morning is, do you know the Father? Do you know Jesus? Because if you don't know the Father, Jesus is the only way. And you have got that opportunity to give your life to the Lord so that you have that right standing with Him. Many people would come to a place of fellowship and claim that they are Christians, but they don't know that for you to become a Christian, you have to take that active step of giving your life and making that decision to say, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, to make that decision to repent from your sins. And by doing that, you are allowing Him to come in and live with you. And by doing that, you are making that conscious decision that I want to be a Christian, and by accepting Jesus, I am a Christian. I am now a child of God. Have you made that decision? Have you seen the gate and have you walked through the gate? If you haven't made that decision or haven't walked through that gate, it's not too late. You still have the opportunity. The Bible tells us that everything has been entrusted to Jesus, and He has the power and the authority to relieve you of whatever burden you might be bearing. When we look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, Jesus said, Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light. The Bible also tells us, in 1 John 1 from verse 5. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there's no darkness in Him at all. So we are lying to ourselves if we say we have fellowship with God but continue living on spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, God is light, then we have fellowship with each other. The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we heard earlier on that the light has got power over darkness. Light can extinguish darkness, but darkness cannot extinguish light. There's a song that I've been listening to. It's playing on the UCB2 playlist. It's one of the new songs. I think it's called One Light, and it talks about a similar thing that you said, Rachel, that the light can extinguish darkness. One small light can extinguish darkness, but it cannot work the other way around. Verse 8 continues and says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves, not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and not showing, and showing that His word has no place in our hearts. So, I have got a slide there that Jesus is the way out. So if you are saved, then Jesus is the way out for you. What do I mean by that? Who among us here can lift up a hand and say, when they got saved, all the challenges that they used to live with just disappeared, gone? So you make that decision to say, I am becoming a new creation, but everything else still hangs around. You have then to make that decision to keep all those things away from you. And you cannot, Rosanna mentioned earlier on that she has tried to do things on her own strength. You cannot do it on your own strength. And as Rosanna mentioned, when you try to do it on your own strength, you will eventually fail and you'll get back to where you started or even worse. So Jesus tells us that he is the gate and those that come through him will be saved. So you come to Jesus, you become a new creation. Those things are still around, but Jesus will show you new pastures where you will go and come freely on those good pastures. Jesus is the only way to the Father. He is the doorway or the gateway, and apart from him, there is no other. We will face temptation on a daily basis. We face different kind of temptations. Some of us might have been dealing with addictions before coming to Christ. By coming to Christ, it doesn't mean those addictions will go away. But Christ will help you when you live a life that's founded in Christ. He will help you find a way out of those addictions. And from time to time, the enemy will come to you and try to entice you with those addictions. So it is vital that we cling to Jesus, because apart from him, we cannot do anything. It's the choices that we make that determine where our lives are. So I mentioned that if you try to do it on your own strength, you might find yourself back where you started or even worse. Matthew 12, Jesus said, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest, but it finds none. Then it says, I'll return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself. They all enter the person and live there. So the person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of the evil generation, of this evil generation. That's from Matthew 12, from verse 43. So when you make that decision, you need to make sure that your house is clear, is swept, is clean. You allow Jesus to be the one that occupies that house. His word be the one that lives in there. It says in Psalms, teach me your ways that I may not sin against you. And it also says, hide your word in my heart. Let the word of the Lord be hidden in your heart, so that when the enemy comes, or when that demon comes, or when that temptation comes, it will find that the house is occupied, and what occupies it is greater than the greatest demon. What occupies your heart is the power of God that has got authority over demons, that has got authority to trample over scorpions and snakes. So therefore, make sure that you don't fall into that trap. It also says, for those that have backslidden, Jesus is the way back. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, for a righteous man will fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. If you make that commitment that you want to walk with God, something happens along the way and you fall down, don't stay there. Because when you fall, you get up, you brush yourself, and move on. I've never seen someone that's fallen and said, oh, because I tripped and fell, I'm going to stay here. We all get up and move on. So it's the same with our walk with Christ. When we fall down, we need to get up and move on. We need to get up and ask him to hold our hand and lead us, because on our own, we will be lost. He knows that we will go astray and we'll get lost, but he calls us to himself. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. It says, return home, you wayward children, says the Lord, for I am your master. I will bring you back to the land of Israel, one from this town, two from that family, wherever they are scattered. I'll give you shepherds after my own heart who will guide you with knowledge and understanding. So God knows that we will go astray, we'll be taken captive, but he is calling us. He is calling us to return home. Whatever the situation might be, he is calling us to return home. And when we return home, we might be on our way in. I was just listening to a preacher who was talking about the prodigal son, how he had rehearsed his story, how he's going to tell his father how that he's gone astray. And when he was yet far off, the father saw him and he ran to him. Even though he had rehearsed his speech and everything, he didn't even have a chance to recite his speech that he had recited. He didn't have a chance because the father saw him from afar and he loved him. He chose the best robe for him and a ring put on his finger. So no matter what we have done, the father has got the same heart for us. He loves us. He calls us to himself. So it doesn't matter how much struggles we may be going through, but Jesus tells us that his grace is sufficient enough. Sorry, I'm not texting Jesus. I'm just looking at a verse. So I'm looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'll start reading from verse 6, I think. It says, even if I should choose to boast, I'll not be a fool because I'll be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Or because of these things, these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So as I was preparing, I've had this for quite a while, and I thought I would start preparing a little bit earlier than I normally do. But when I started preparing, or when I started getting ready, I had some challenges with my health. I had a bout of migraines coming my way, and I thought, okay, I'll dedicate some time to fasting and praying. And as I started fasting, I had challenges with my tummy. which meant I had to cut my fast halfway through. But the greatest thing that I'll say is, through all that, I know that God's grace is made perfect in my weakness. So it doesn't matter what you are facing or what you are going through. As long as you know that the battle that you are fighting, you are not fighting on your own. The word of God says, for the battle is the Lord's. It's not our battle, it is the Lord's. All we have to do is to surrender it to him, and he will do the rest. He said to Moses, be still. These Egyptians that you see, you will see no more. So I want to say to you, this challenge that you see this morning, you will see no more. For God will fight for you. That challenge that you are facing in work, it's not there to trip you. It's there to make you stronger. It's there to make you know that God is for you, not against you. So bring it to him. Nothing is too big for him, and nothing is too small for him. Somebody said, if it matters to you, it matters to God. So even that tiniest thing that you might be worrying about, it matters to God. Take it to him. That teaspoon that you can't find in your cupboard, take it to him. That job that you're looking for, or that breakthrough that you're looking for, God cares about that. Take it to him. The key is having intimacy with God. Ruth said, I needed to bring a word. I'm not bringing a word because I was told to bring a word. There's something that has just been playing on my mind, and it has got to do with worship. So what I just want to put before you is that worship is an individual thing. It is between you and your God. It is nothing to do with the musical instruments, although some say to make a joyful sound, noise to the Lord. That helps us to make joyful noises to the Lord. But worship is between you and God. God looks at your heart, at what you bring to him. You might be in an auditorium full of people who are jumping up and down, or you might be in the forest walking on your own. The thing is making that connection with God, listening out to what God is saying, not just downloading to God. Take a time also to receive what God is saying to you. Take time to understand what is that perfect place that you are on a one-to-one basis with God, where you know that nothing else is distracting you. Take that time and worship. Take that time and make it a time that enables you to have the intimacy with God. Because without the intimacy of God, with God, we will do whatever we do, which is what we think is right, not what God says is right. So it is key that we have that intimacy with God. And as we go away this week, let us focus on having intimacy with God. Let us focus on going back where we have fallen and get up, rise up, and walk with Jesus. Walk with him. He will guide you. He will show you the way. He listens all the time. He's listening out for you to say something. But he's also yearning to speak to you. He's yearning for you to take that time, just take a step back and listen to what he says. The way that we're going to hear God is not going to be the same. For some, it might be through me speaking. For others, you might hear a song playing that is relevant to your situation. For others, someone on the street, a stranger, will come to you and talk to you about your situation that you will be left amazed. That's how God works. He is God, after all. We can't dictate how he should speak to us. Amen? So, I would say, if you haven't made that commitment, or if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have that opportunity to receive Christ. You have that opportunity to make that step that will lead you to eternal life. And it is only one person that can do that. It's yourself. You have to make that conscious decision. So if you do want to speak to someone about it, feel free to pull someone and say, I want to make that decision. Shall we bow our heads? Father, we bow down before you this morning, O God. We want to thank you, O Lord God, for your faithfulness. We want to thank you, O God, for your word, O Father. Lord, you said that you send your word, O Father, and it healed their diseases. Lord, I pray this morning for those that are struggling with their health, Lord God, be it physical health or mental health. Lord God, I just pray this morning that, Lord, you'll send your word and heal their diseases. I speak this morning to that mental health. I say, be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Your word says it was for freedom that we were set free. So, Lord, I declare that your children are set free from depression. They are set free from mental health. They are set free from stress in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just want to thank you, O God, that, Lord, you are a faithful God. You are a God that makes a way even where there is no way, O God. So, Lord, we put our trust in you. We exalt you. We lift your name on high, O God. Lord God, I pray, your Father, over that chronic pain. I say, be gone in the name of Jesus. Right now, I just pray, release from pain. Release from pain in the name of Jesus. Headaches, be gone. Migraines, I command you, you have no place in the name of Jesus. I just want to thank you, Lord. That, Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever and ever. Lord, we pray, your Father, even as we go into this week, oh Lord God, that, Lord God, you go before us. Lord, you say you command your angels pertaining us, oh Father, they will lift us up so that our foot will not dash against the stone. Lord, I pray that, Lord God, as your children go out, oh Father, that, Lord, you go before them, oh God. I pray your protection. Lord God, I pray for favor, Lord God, favor from you and favor from among men, oh Lord God. I pray for opportunities, Lord God, to be able to share your word, oh God. I pray, oh Father, that, Lord God, where, Lord God, people are facing challenges, oh Lord God, are unable to stand for who they are, that, Lord God, you will give them, oh Father, Lord God, that confidence. You'll give them, oh Father, that victory in the name of Jesus. For you say you have not given us the spirit of fear, oh Lord God, but you have given us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Lord, I pray, oh Father, that, Lord God, we will be able to exercise, oh Lord God, that power that you've given us, oh God. Lord, you alone are worthy. You alone are mighty to save. Father, I pray, oh Father, over our young people, Lord God, that, oh Father, as they go out, Lord God, to schools, to colleges, oh Lord God, to universities, that, Lord God, you will be with them, oh Father. Lord, I pray for their places of work, oh Father, that, Lord God, there will be the light and the salt in those areas, oh Father. Lord, I pray, oh Father, as we've heard your word this morning, oh God, that, Lord God, it will bring life to us, oh God. Lord, we exalt you and we honor you, oh Father. We give you glory, Lord. We give you honor. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.